they would appreciate your help. Hey, thank you, Perry and the worship team, for worship today. Glad to have you here. We are in the midst of a series looking at the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6 as Jesus teaches us a prayer that he wants us to be able to communicate. And one of the things that we are realizing about this prayer is that this prayer, crafted by the Son of God for us, actually speaks very intimately to us about our human condition and our longing to follow God. And so we're calling this prayer, this series, Heart Cries, because this prayer tends to uncover, go through the depths of some of the junk and the turmoil and the disruption that we have in life, and it allows us to give words to longings in our heart. And I believe something from each of these lines in this prayer is going to connect with us today. Now, I believe that because, number one, Jesus taught us this prayer. He's perfectly crafted it for us. So I believe Jesus knows very well what to say, and I believe that word has power for you. Second thing is, I believe this whole book is powerful and alive and active. And every time we read it, it has power to transform us, confront us, give us hope, give us guidance, give us strength, give us truth. And I anticipate every time we gather together, God's going to speak. There's something that's going to convict your heart about how you can love him more, how you can receive his love more, and how you can share his love with others better. So as we start, would you join me in a word of prayer? And we're going to ask God to open our hearts for his word. Father God, I thank you for the chance to be able to be here today in this midst of this group of people. You've called us and you brought us into this spot from all the different places we've been and all the different things that have happened this week. And God, we just want to say it's our desperate need to be in this place. And we anticipate that you're going to speak to us, that you're going to encourage us, you're going to meet us exactly where we are, with words that we need to hear that will help us to live out the life that you've called us to, or to enter into the life that you've called us to. So God, we come with great expectations. So now would you give power to your word? Would you help me not to speak words that I've crafted? Would you help me to speak your word in beauty and in truth and in clarity? And then Father, I pray that you'd give to each of us ears that are ready to hear what your spirit wants to speak to us. And give us hearts that are ready to put into practice what you say to us. And then, Father, give us lips that would be willing to tell what you're teaching us to someone else who desperately needs to know what an awesome God you are. Be with us now, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know what this week has been like for you. I don't know what this year has been like for you. Sometimes prayer catches us at times when it's really hard to pray. We know we're supposed to pray. We've been told, early part of this passage that we're looking at, that God longs for us. His heart cry is for a conversation with us, for us to be able to break away from everything that's going on and have time just with him. And we've challenged our church family to try to double the amount of time you currently spend with the Lord in prayer. And spend, if you've been spending 5 minutes a day or 5 minutes a week, I want you to double that. I want you to find out there's more and invest yourself in that interaction with the Father in quiet time with him. But sometimes that's hard. So let me just talk about it. Sometimes prayer meets us at a point when we're in incredible pain or suffering or confusion. Now, honestly, my heart this week and over the last couple weeks has just been broken about what it looks like. I know it's distant and we see it in the news, but of the shootings that have happened. And some broken person who felt like their resolution for life or their identity in life was to create a massacre and a mayhem in a Walmart store or in a neighborhood or at a school. And when I think of real people in those kind of situations, I think of heart cries that happen of, why, God, did you let this happen? And then there's a point where prayer almost becomes hard. It becomes the first thing you do because you're crying out to God out of the depths of the brokenness. But then there's a point when it's almost like, I don't know if I have words to say to talk to God in this season. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a place like that where talking to God in prayer was the thing you knew you should do, but your heart felt like it was too hard to do. Either you were frustrated about something, or the pain that you felt was too severe to even go into that area was hard for you. The passage we're going to look at today in the Lord's Prayer meets us right there. Because we live in a world where brokenness is all around. And one of the great questions that people have about faith and if there's a God, one of the great questions is, if there's really a God and he's all powerful and he's all loving, why does all this stuff happen? Why do young children get cancer? Why do they get hit and killed by a car in a car accident? Why do people shoot and kill each other, people they don't even know? Why do wars happen? Why is there poverty? Why is there such a difference between people who have much and people who have little? And why the gap? If there's a God and he's good, then why all of this? And in the midst of all of that, we start to twist our thinking. It's interesting. I saw a quote this week that I want you to look at with me. This quote says that imaginary evil looks romantic and varied. I want you to think about this. Imaginary evil looks romantic and varied. When they present evil sometimes on the movie screen or when you think about it, the temptation into evil looks romantic and exciting and something new, and there's a thrill that comes with that. But real evil, when you experience it, is gloomy, horrid, monotonous, barren, and boring. Have you ever been there? Ever been teased into a sin or into a lifestyle or into a choice that sounded good, but once you got in there, it was not everything that it promised? Now, on the other side, imaginary good seems boring. And many times people think, well, if I become a Christian, if I follow Jesus, then living a good life is going to be boring. Have you ever heard that? Well, the reality is imaginary good seems boring. But real good, look at this quote, is always new, marvelous, and intoxicating. There is something when you experience that which is really good, what you were created for. There's something about that that just breathes life. It resonates with you. And if you've been following the imaginary evil and finding this chaos, this horror, and this gloomy, this horrible life, and somehow you think that choosing the good is going to be boring, I just want to let you know, Jesus came, he said, so that you could be able to taste life at its very best. And you, when you follow Jesus, experience the very best of life. But the reality is, many of us are on this pivot point where we're not sure what to do. And even though you are living for Jesus, challenges may come in your life. So the scripture that we're going to look at today is going to meet us right at that point where pain and hardship and unrighteousness and the brokenness of our world meets us in our prayer time, and we're praying to God who has the ability to make wrong things right and to bring hope to people who are hopeless. We're going to start with verse 5. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 6, we'll start with verse 5. Our focus is going to be on verse 10. We'll read through to verse 10. Jesus said, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, that they may be seen by others. I say to you that they've received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles do, for they think that they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." I believe this line that we're going to look at today reveals a hidden heart cry in your life. I believe when you see brokenness happen in our world, you wish that it could be made right. You wish that those things didn't happen. This week, Thursday or Friday, and I can't remember what it was, saw there was a traffic jam on I-80 going east at the 13th Street exit because a motorcycle rider got hit by a car and was dead on the scene. And I think, why does this happen? And how does this family cope with this sudden death and difficulty? Now, I don't know if your response to that is, well, that's just what happens in this world. And so you've created a numbness, a distance, a cushion in your life so that that trouble, those elements of chaos, all the trouble that exists around us, you can't handle it in your heart and your mind and your spirit. So you've kind of cushioned yourself, distanced yourself from it, and stopped yourself from feeling. And I just want to say, that's what Satan will do when you live in a broken world. Because deep underneath that cushion, that muffled voice in your heart is trying to say, that's not right. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Because something inside you recognizes things that are good and right and true. And even if you're not living in that arena, you sense it shouldn't be this way. Now, I just want to say, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that voice probably is speaking out to you oftentimes when you see things around you and something cries out and says, it shouldn't be this way. Oh, if God could just let his kingdom come and his will happen on earth, just like it's happening in heaven. But if you're not a believer and you're here because somebody just invited you to come, and you're not sure about Jesus, you're not sure about him being king or father in your life, I just want to ask you a question. Why is it that trouble in this world causes you to sense something's not right or wrong? If we are just kind of evolved from fish and monkeys, why do we have any sense of consciousness of something's good and something's not good, something's right, something's wrong? Why do we even sense that? My suggestion is going to be is that you were created by a God who's good, holy, right, and true. And even when you don't honor him or recognize him or know him, there's still part of that identity inside you that cries out when things are wrong. I mean, little kids can tell when things aren't fair. They know when mom and dad haven't been fair in a punishment or judgment. They know when there's something unjust or wrong that's happened. Kids just sense that. There's a sense of right and wrong that's in us. And so I want to take us to this prayer, and I want us to ask these questions. What's the cry in the heart that God's unveiling? So let's look at that verse 10. Verse 10 says, "Your kingdom come and your will be done." So I know in church we talk about spiritual words a lot. So I just want to act as if you haven't ever heard this before. And you've this word kingdom. And in a prayer, I don't know if you've ever prayed that, that God would be king of your life and that his kingdom purposes would happen around you. When Jesus was speaking this, he's talking to people who very well understood the idea of kings and kings' territories and different ways that different kings lead and what their kingdom was like. And if you liked that king, you stayed in his kingdom. If you didn't like that king, you would run over to another king that you liked better and you'd stay in their kingdom. So for your understanding, I want you to define the word kingdom as the place where God's rule and his reign oversees and takes place. And I would suggest that doesn't happen in a geographical territory. That happens in our hearts. So two things just from that passage of scripture. There's a kingdom. There must be a king. Okay? So we said in verse 9, God, Jesus revealed that in our prayer, you should address him as Father. And you should embrace this idea that you're a child of God. Well, this week, the uncovery in the song, or this prayer, is that your Father is a king. And he has a kingdom and a reign and a rule that he wants to have. And it's not going to be by territory. It's going to be in a heart that surrenders itself to him. Now, let me take you through a couple of things. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 10. This is where the prayer kind of meets us in the context of our challenges. Psalm 10, verses 1 through 4. The psalmist writes what you and I feel, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they've devised. For the wicked boasts of his desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God." Here you have the psalmist dealing with what you and I see around us. The evil that seems to happen. And if there's a good God, why is he standing so far off? Why isn't he stopping wickedness as it continues? I just had a conversation with somebody this morning about internet security. And how people try to steal your identity in all these smooth, tricky kind of ways. And part of me says, why are there people who just want to use their techno savvy to probably steal identities from other people and sell it on the dark web? Why are there people like that? And the psalmist says the same thing. And why doesn't God just stop them right now? Have you ever thought that? Well, the reason you and I think that is because it wasn't always this way. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31 describes the beginning of creation as God created the whole world. And in the beginning, at the end of the sixth day, God saw everything that had been made, and behold, it was what? Very good. And there was evening and morning the sixth day. And that lasted until Adam and Eve sinned. Do you understand that? The world that God created us for, this beautiful relationship with him where his goodness is expressed in the reality of our life, that was the reality in the Garden of Eden. And when we sinned and separated, when Adam and Eve sinned, and when we sin, we separate ourselves from that ability to be able to see that. And so the evil and the brokenness, the decay that happens in the world around us, happens because we've fallen away from God's plan. And sin now is ruling the day. And yet your heart cries out. I know it. Your heart cries out for things to be made right. Well, in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, Daniel the prophet speaks of a time when things are going to kind of be made right. A new kingdom's going to come. Verse 44, Daniel's interpreting a dream for the king, and he says, in the days of those kings, speaking of earthly kingdoms, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall that kingdom be left to other people. It shall break into pieces all the kingdoms and will bring them to an end, and it will stand forever. In the dream that the king had had, he had seen an image and four different styles of metal and that were creating this image. And the last image is the feet of clay and iron mixed together. And out of a mountain in the dream comes a rock that destroys that idol, and it becomes the new kingdom. That prophecy of Daniel had been spoken and whispered in Jewish circles for about 400 years. And people were waiting for God to set up his kingdom again. In fact, when Jesus came, they were thinking Jesus was going to do that. He was going to be the king. Well, he is the king. But he was going to set up his kingdom in their hearts, not by overthrowing Rome. And so Jesus sets himself up as a king, and he gives you a hope of a kingdom that's yet to come. And in that kingdom yet to come, it's revealed and it's communicated to us in Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. Revelation 22, 1 through 5. The angel showed me the river, the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God. This is heaven and the Lamb. And through the middle of the street of the city, and also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer was there anything accursed. Oh man, that's what your heart's longing for. This. No longer was there anything that's accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and the night will be no more, and they will need no more need of the lamp or the sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Now, I want you to know the kingdom that Jesus is kind of planting hope for in your heart, the thing you're longing for, is going to be fully realized in God's kingdom in heaven. And he's placed that longing in your heart so that you would make a choice to say, I want the king to reign in my heart. So Jesus gives word to us in a prayer. And he encourages your prayer ought to speak words that your heart's crying for. And here's the cry. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because the cry of the heart that God's speaking in this prayer is that the cry that that kingdom would happen now, that elements of the kingdom, little splotches of the kingdom would be able to happen here in this life. And you and I would say, God, in my prayer, I want that kingdom here. I want that now. I may not be able to see the fullness of it until heaven, but I want that kingdom here. I want that now. Lord, here. Lord, now. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Would you just say that with me? Lord, hear. Say that. Lord, hear. Lord, now. Say that. Lord, now. Okay, I want you to try that again. This time, I want you to think of the place where you see brokenness. I want you to think of the place where you say, it shouldn't be this way. Whether it's a jail, whether it's a a nursing home, whether it's a home in your neighborhood, whether it's something going on at your work, I want you to, whether it's a hospital, I don't know where it is, but I want you to say, God, this is a part of the brokenness of the world because of sin. And God, my prayer is, Lord, here, Lord, now, let your kingdom come. Would you just say, Lord, here, Lord, now, let your kingdom come. Would you say that with me? Lord, here, Lord, now, let your kingdom come. Now, I believe this prayer is giving voice. It's putting words to a cry that your heart's been longing for. And I just want to encourage you in your prayer time to start praying this prayer. Speak those words. Say, Lord, here, Lord, now. Because I think there's a second cry that Jesus is giving words to here. And it's the cry that somehow your life would be devoted to something really grand. That your life would be able to make a difference for good. That you wouldn't just watch the stuff happening around you, but deep in your heart is this longing to say, I don't want to just stand here. I don't know what to do, but I want to make a difference for good. I want to help his kingdom reality to come. And so when you go to a nursing home and visit people who have no family that visit them, and you bring the love of God to that person, or whatever capacity they have to be able to receive that love, as you pray words of blessing over their life, as you speak and listen to their story about who they are and what their story of their life has been like, and as you share your story and about your faith in Jesus, you're letting a little bit of that kingdom come in that arena. If you visit a prison, if you go to a school and you see things where the kingdom of God isn't present, and you say, I'm going to be a kingdom representative in this area. I want you to know one of the cries in your heart that this prayer speaks out is this, that I would like it to happen here on earth. Now, earth is a pretty big place. So I want you to pray for all the things on earth that are broken, where the kingdom of God wants to be able to let its glory be seen. But can we focus it down to something local for you? I want you to identify, if you were to pray this line in the prayer, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done, and you list the place. I believe in your heart, the Holy Spirit's prompting you to say, there's a place in my neighborhood, there's a place in my life where I want God's kingdom principles to come to pass. And if I'm going to pray this prayer, then I want to be an ambassador of the kingdom in this area. And I've never met this person in my neighborhood. But somehow I want to start to bring a little bit of the kingdom light into that area. Now, I want you to know, I think that's happening throughout this body of believers. I love this element of Kingsway, is that Kingsway is not just about what happens here. Kingsway is about how we can take what God's doing here and take it out and let it be a blessing to other people. This is the third Sunday of the month. And on the third Sunday of the month, we have people who go down to the empty tomb. I see that they're in church today, but they typically are down at the empty tomb in South Omaha, where a church service happens for all the homeless and poverty people in that part of Omaha. And they preach the gospel, and they serve a meal. And we have volunteers from this church that go there on the third Sunday of every month. They don't spend church here. They serve there. It's also, third Sunday is the day that we have people from our church that go to the Douglas County Health Hospital. And they do a service at the hospital there. And out of that service, a few weeks ago, one of our members who preaches at that service conducted a memorial service for one of the people who attend that service who passed away. And he was able to go in that area and speak the gospel of Jesus Christ because of the relationship he had built. I know there's people who go to the street school. I know there's people who go to a variety of different places. Here's what I want to say. Is there some place around you that either individually or as a family, you would say, we're going to make a difference here. I can't just pray this prayer and not do something about it. So God, would you help me to be a kingdom bearer into this area? And all I want to do is I want to ask you, don't leave today without identifying where is it that the kingdom light needs to come. And you're going to be the representative. You can't change maybe all the structure of what's going on in that environment. You can be a kingdom citizen in that area. You can do what's right and love those who are maybe oppressed or having a hard time. You can come alongside them. When everybody else is ignoring them, you as a kingdom representative can go in and say, it's not right. Can I stand here with you in this? It could be a wide range of things. But would you make a decision to let the cry of your heart say, I'm going to do something about that? So let me take you to a couple of passages of scripture real quickly to guide you through this. First, Galatians chapter 6:10. I'm going to take you to Galatians 6:10. So then, as you have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, Paul is reminding the church that your goal as a Christian, as a kingdom citizen, is not just to experience the blessings of the kingdom, but that you would share those blessings with other people. Here's a compelling passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 25. You've heard this multiple times. Verse 34, Matthew 25, starting with verse 34. Speaking of the end times when the king is going to judge and evaluate us, the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, would you notice something there? Jesus is using the king image and this idea of the kingdom, that the kingdom is not fully realized here in your current experience. You just get to be a representative of the kingdom so you can bring a little bit of the kingdom life and truth into areas around you. But the kingdom that your heart cries for is the Eden that's past and broken. We'll never get back there. But it's heaven. It's the reality of heaven. And this is the kingdom you were prepared for before the foundations of the earth. Do you know that? God has planned that he wants you to be able to experience what he created you to experience. And you can do that through Jesus Christ. By surrendering to say, Jesus, I'll let you be king of my life. Jesus speaks there. He says, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to see me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to the one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Here's the cry of your heart. Cry of your heart is to make a difference for good, to bring the kingdom reality into somebody else's life. And Jesus says, as you do that, you're actually doing it for him. It's as if Jesus is in the midst of that nursing home. Jesus is in that home that's constantly noise of fighting and arguing. Jesus is in your workplace, in this place where chaos is happening and somebody's being oppressed. Somebody's lost their way. Jesus is there and he's waiting for someone in the kingdom to come and bring kingdom reality to them. So I want to ask you, don't fear the night when you possess the light. Don't be afraid of the brokenness around you because the light that God gives you is more powerful than the night. So here's, we're going to end with this prayer. I'm going to have the worship team come up and prepare to lead us in a time of response. I want to say two possible decisions that might be. You might be saying, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you're saying, Lord, here, Lord, now. And that prayer from you is this heart cry that for the very first time, you're going to let Jesus be king of your life. And I just want to ask some of you who have been thinking about that decision, I want to ask you, would you today make that decision, say, Lord, here, Lord, now, I surrender my life to you. I want to be a citizen in your kingdom. I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to have your way and your will accomplished in my life. I want you to be the primary voice. I want you to wash away my sins and make me clean. And I don't want to leave today without making sure that I've made that commitment today. And I want to let you know we have an elder and a wife back here who will help you with that decision. And we would get ready for you to be able to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, let him be king of your life, and to be baptized and start your brand new life in him. We'd love to have that happen today if you've not made that decision. Here's a second possible decision, is that you've been worried and threatened by the trouble that goes around you. And your response has been to retreat away from it. You've seen the chaos in school. You've seen the chaos in your workplace. You've seen, and you've chosen to, in the middle of all that, just to kind of retreat. Kind of ignore it. Come to church. Get involved in as many things as you can in church. And yet there's a cry in your heart that keeps saying, there's a spot I want you to take the kingdom reality into. And today I just want to ask you, where's that place that God's putting on your heart? And today as you say, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it in heaven, and you say, Lord, here, Lord, now, would you surrender your life and make a commitment to say, God, I'll take your kingdom light into that area. I'm not sure what I need to do. But I'm just going to go and draw near and start living like a kingdom citizen, and helping those who are oppressed, loving those who are poor, coming alongside those who are in bondage of sin and helping them to know their value to the King. And I just want to ask you, where's that place? And today, if you'd like somebody to pray for you as you try to say, okay, I'm going to go to that place and I'm going to bring the kingdom there, and I'm just going to ask for somebody to pray for me as I go do that, I encourage you to go back to the back during the song or after the song, and we'll have somebody pray with you with that decision. Would you pray with me right now? Father God, I pray this prayer right now. Heaven has crafted a prayer for us. It's not just words that are good to repeat, but it gives voice to things that are longings in our heart. So, Father, we just right now acknowledge our heart's longings for things that are wrong in this world to be made right. And for people that are isolated, broken by sin, and have no way of knowing whether there's an escape or there's forgiveness or redemption or way to remove their shame. Father, that we'd be able to introduce them to a Father who loves them and sent Jesus to die so that that shame could be removed. So, Father, just right now, for each person in this room, I want to voice a heart cry that we have. Father, it's our desire to give our life to something that would make a difference. So, Father, Lord, here, Lord, now, would you let your kingdom come? Would you send us into the places where you want us to go? Would you help us to receive and discover this life abundant? So, Father, hear our prayer. Whatever decisions that your Holy Spirit wants to prompt in us, I pray you'd move us that direction in Jesus' name.